Hello and welcome to the Mama Mentor Podcast. My name is Joyce and here we talk everything life. So we have another beautiful spring day. I'm out at the farm again getting some work done. You might even be able to hear the dishwasher in the back. We did some cooking and, you know, did a little more kind of cooking. Maybe you could even call it meal prep while we're out here. So I'm just running a load through the dishwasher. We don't actually have to do that very often here because we bring a lot of prepared stuff here, or we just kind of eat differently out here, I guess. And so we're eating a lot of like fruits and vegetables, boiled eggs. Sometimes we have some frozen pizza, or, you know, a lot of times I'll bring leftovers from the city house and we just kind of do that. And it's kind of more of a relaxed schedule. It's not a breakfast at this time, lunch at this time, dinner at this time kind of thing. And I kind of like it. It's kind of relaxing. It's kind of a change of pace. It's really a little bit different to get used to because recently I've been trying to really get more protein into my diet. I don't know if you guys listened to my perimenopause and menopause episode last time. But one of the things that they really recommend if you're perimenopause, menopause, is to really get that kind of, you're supposed to go for 1 gram of protein per ideal body weight. So if your ideal body weight is 150 pounds, then you should be ideally getting 150 grams. Now, if you're like me, you're not at your ideal body weight, but that doesn't matter. It's still based on what your ideal body weight is. But to go from having not enough protein in a day to try to get that is unrealistic. So I've just been trying to add more protein. So it's a little bit harder when I'm out at the farm because I have to be a little bit more intentional. Whereas when I'm in the city, it's, you know, breakfast, lunch, supper, snacks, you know, gym, yoga, walks, you know, like everything's a little bit more. It doesn't feel regimented to me because I enjoy it, but it still is. There's still a schedule. So it's a little bit easier to make sure I'm getting all the protein that I need at the farm. It's a little harder. I have to be like, oh, right, I haven't had protein for a snack, or I just had a snack that didn't have any protein in it. So what am I going to do for protein? Or I kind of want this for lunch, but that really doesn't have any protein in it at all, or not very much. So how can I boost that protein? And it's just that constant retraining of our thoughts. Couple points on that. First of all, when I say perimenopause and menopause, and I'm going to clarify this because when I was the age I'm about to talk to, I would not have considered myself in that conversation. Like when people were saying perimenopause and menopause, I in my mind was thinking women kind of late 40s all the way into their mid to late 50s. And that's typically when menopause can hit, but perimenopause is that time preceding the menopause. And that can be a decade long. So when I'm saying perimenopause, I'm talking to those of you who are kind of like in your early to mid 30s. That's when you should be starting to implement some of these mindsets, and then you won't have as much of a hard time as those of us who are just trying to do it when we're like 50. So, and some of the basic things are, if you didn't listen to my podcast last time, it's, you know, that try to get that. I'm trying to go for 100 to 110 grams of protein a day. That's not by any stretch of the imagination my ideal body weight. But when you're going from, oh, I was getting maybe 40 to 50 grams of protein a day on a good day, going, I'm doubling it. So that's what I'm going for because I've been able to do that on most days. And as I get better at doing that, I will bump it up. I doubt I'll ever get to 150. And here's why. I don't know if you've eaten that many grams of protein in a day. It's a lot. And I actually have a girlfriend who, she's actually in that mid 30s age. And so we were talking a lot about this because I was like, you should start doing this kind of stuff now that, you know, 2 to 3 liters of water a day, be really taking your multivitamin, you know, having some vitamin C, some omega-3s, you know, that kind of stuff, and getting the grams of protein in. And she was going, oh, you know, I used to count calories all the time. She's trying to lose weight too. And she goes, yeah, it's so hard to count the calories. And I said, honestly, just count the protein. And she goes, well, if I'm just paying attention to the protein, I'm going to end up eating like so many bad calories. And I just said to her, if you can manage to get 100 to 110 grams of protein into your body in a day, I promise you, there's not a lot of room left over for, oh, I think I want a donut or I want a chocolate bar or I want anything. It's a struggle because it's not that it's a lot of food, but because it's food dense, it doesn't blow through your body like a simple carb. It doesn't blow through your body like sugars. It really lasts and it lasts for a long time. And I just said, yeah, just try for the protein, get the protein in. Don't worry about carbs. Try to like not overboard on the like sugars and stuff, because that's never a good idea no matter what you're doing. Even if you're at your ideal body weight and you run marathons, you shouldn't be having gobs of sugar. But I said, just focus on trying to like, don't eat too much junk food, and definitely make the protein a priority, and movement every day, whatever the kind of movement is. And that's another thing that I had to, I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent, kind of continuing on from last week, but we're just going to start out with that. Those of us who, you know, were like teenagers in the 80s and 90s and stuff like that, and, you know, exercise had to be a class, a group class. Everything to qualify as exercise had to be this big organized thing. And I know a lot of us got hung up on that. Like, oh, you know, what's it really going to matter if I go for a walk for 30 minutes? What's it really going to matter if I take my dog for a walk, or I walk my kids to the park and we play there for a bit and we walk back? Let me tell you, every time your ass is not on a couch, that counts. If you're walking up and downstairs doing laundry, counts. Vacuuming, walking around your house, vacuuming your whole house, that fucking counts. And if you don't believe me, judge your sweat level after you've done that. Because if you're anything like me, you're sweating like it's 30 degrees in the house. Walking your dog absolutely counts. Walking your kids to the park, playing around to the park, coming back. Even if you walk to the park, sit on a park bench while they play and walk back, that is still counting. You know, if you've got a long walk to your mailbox and walk, that counts. You know, if you're, you know, swimming with your kids, counts. Swimming by yourself, everything counts. Literally everything where you're not lying in a bed or sitting on a couch counts as exercise. Try to do as much weight, but here's the thing. We always were like, oh, cardio, 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 and do a little bit of weights. And it's actually the reverse is true. And when you really think about it, it makes sense, because muscle burns more calories and energy and all of that, including fat, than fat does. So you want your body to have lots of muscle, because it's constantly burning stuff. It's constantly working through stuff. You're not getting leftover fat when you've got muscles burning away. That's why men, as soon as they go from sedentary to even just a little bit of exercise, are just burning through their fat. It's because they have more muscle mass. And so do those weights and lift heavy, lift heavy. Lift as heavy a weight as you can and do it as often as you can. And again, those of us who you know, grew up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and we're like, oh, we don't want to be bulky like men. Bulky like men comes from being men. I don't care how heavy a weight that you lift, you're not going to bulk out like men. And before you say, oh, but I've seen people on TikTok and they're, you know, they practically look like gym bros. Yes, because they're taking testosterone. They're taking some form of testosterone because they want to bulk like that. And they're trying to bulk like that. That's their goal, and all the power to them. And if that's what you want to do, all the power to you do. But those of us who are just regular, ordinary women, you know, who are doing our lives, you know, you can be lifting 20, 30 pounds. If you can bench press 150 pounds, do it. If you can squat 150 pounds, do it. You are not going to look like a bodybuilder all bulked up like a man if you do that. You are going to look, your muscles are going to be stronger. You are going to get what they call cut, which means you'll have that muscle definition, but you're not going to be like super huge busting out of your t-shirts. that's just not going to happen. That's not what female bodies do when they respond to weight training. They respond by being toned and muscle definition and strength and stuff like that. You know, and again, when you're going, oh, my friend did this and, you know, she had these really muscular looking legs because she probably lifted heavy for a really long time and really lowered her body fat. And when you get rid of all that body fat that's hanging around your thighs, yeah, your muscles are going to stand out more. That's what happens when you're in really good muscular shape and your muscles are very defined and you have a lower body fat count than most women have. It's going to happen. But your leg hasn't actually gotten bulky bigger. Like, I don't know. No, I don't know if you can get bigger without taking testosterone. But it just looks that way because the fat around it is gone. So anyway, do that. And don't worry about for losing weight. What we're trying to do is we are trying to have strength. We are trying to keep our body working as a well-oiled machine. That means it's burning fat, it's burning calories, it is strong enough to carry us, it is strong enough for the activities that we want to do. We have good joint mobility. You know, we can hop, skip, and jump. We can swim, we can go for those long walks. Basically, we want to keep our bodies going through our life that we never have to tap out going, I can't do that, when it's something we want to do. It's different if you don't want to do it. Like, if you don't want to go kayaking, don't. But if you're like, oh, I'd really like to go kayaking, but it really hurts to sit like that, or you know, I'd really love to go for a hike, but you know, like my knees and my joints, they're just not doing it. That's the whole point of keeping our body through diet and exercise and vitamins and minerals. It's not to be a size 5. It's not to be a size 0. It is not to be the size we were in high school. Because if you've even had one child go through your body, that's never going to happen. And it isn't about body weight. Because you may get down to the number on the scale that you saw in high school, and you may feel really proud of yourself, but your body composition is forever changed as soon as you have one child. The way that your body sits on its frame is different. And I know that. And I know that from personal experience. I had my oldest son when I was very young. I was very fit when I got pregnant. I was very fit through the whole pregnancy. And I was very fit after. And even though I actually weighed less than when I got pregnant, my body composition was different. And it didn't fit into the clothes before because my body was a different composition. So we are not trying to fit into our prom dresses. We are trying to be healthy and strong and full of energy so that we're not dying for a nap at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that we don't have to make up some excuse about why we can't join some activity when the reality is, you know, we hurt or we just can't do it. And, you know, and we want to come up with some, you know, good sounding excuse so that we don't have to say to people, yeah, I'm like an 80-year-old woman. I can't walk around. And that's the goal. And so that's what I've been doing. So, like I said, it's a little bit harder to do at the farm, hence why the dishwasher is going, because we did a little bit of meal prep. And just to make it easier so I don't have to think, because, you know, there's a lot of relaxing going on at the farm and a lot of just, you know, spontaneous walks. And, you know, we're already starting to plan out the garden. So we're in a zone 3. So those of you who know what garden zone you're is, and it's the same thing, like USDA zones is a thing. Everyone refers to that zone. So if you're going, oh, well, you're in Canada and I'm in the States and it's probably different. No, it's not. We use the same zone system. So we're in a zone 3. And so although we can kind of, like, we can walk out to the garden, there's no snow. We don't have any more snow. And the ground, I haven't tried digging in the ground, but I doubt it's frozen. And if it is, it'll be a ways down where it's frozen. It's probably mostly thawed. But we still can't plant yet. There's a lot of things we can't plant yet. But we spent the last few days just walking the garden, deciding, you know, what plants we were going to put in different things. We're trying a few new things this year. If those of you who have been following the podcast and following me on Instagram, you know that we put the field garden out very late last year. We planted everything on July 1st. So very, very late in the season. And we actually got a pretty decent crop. And so, but this year, of course, you know, we're more organized. The spot's already like plowed up, so we don't have to like do that where we were starting from scratch last year. So we are actually going to the first weekend in May. We are going to be putting in potatoes, and we are going to be putting in onions and some cold season crops like kale and lettuce. I'm probably going to put some like flower seeds directly in the soil, as well as my sunflowers, direct seed. Because it's been warm enough now, and I don't think even if we got like a little skiff of snow or whatever, it wouldn't be enough to really damage those kind of crops if it did. Because if it snowed, it would kind of snow overnight, and then in the morning it'd be melting. So it would just be like they had a really cold watering. So that's on the very near horizon. So we decided what kind of potatoes we were going to plant. We're doing a red potato. I always forget what they're called. I want to call them russets, but I don't think that's what they're called. Red potato, and then we're doing a Yukon Gold. We are also going to do Walla Walla onions is the onions we're going to do. And I might actually try a little bit of shallots too. I've grown them before, not here. And they turned out very well, and I was very happy, so I might be trying that. And I'd like to get some spring garlic in, if I can. Just because we've never grown garlic, and it's something we use so much around the house, that it would just be so amazing to be getting it from our own garden. And quite by accident last year, at the north end of the field garden, because I'd seen it in magazines and on Pinterest and on Instagram, where people have this kind of it's a sunflower fence. They put it like in their yard, you know, so it acts as a fence in the summer. And I thought, wouldn't that be really great? Because on the north side of the field garden, we've got like some more land, but then there's a fence, and then there's another farmer's field. And it's just a crop, like it's just like a wheat crop. So it's not like we've got a hideous view or anything, but it's just flat and like grain. It's just grain planted. And I thought, that would not be nice to plant it on the north side of the garden, so that like as you're walking out to the garden, it's just this happy little fence of sunflowers that's greeting you. And it was funny because my oldest son, he was like, oh, I don't know about that. He wasn't a fan of it. And I was like, okay, but just let me try it. So we did that. And yeah, as it was growing up and the sunflowers were blooming, even he was like, you know what, that actually really does look really good. And so we've decided that is going to be a staple of our garden. And I actually know a lot of people, especially around here, whether they are in town or out of town, they do that. They, on the north side of their gardens, that's where they'll plant like a row or two rows of different heights of sunflowers. Just because it brings the pollinators in. Depending on what variety of sunflowers, you can get the kind that have the big heads on them where you can actually dry them out and, you know, like roast the seeds and have like sunflower seeds. We had a couple of those last year. And then you can get like, you can do it like staggered rows so that they get shorter the more forefront they come, which is kind of what we're doing. So that like the ones that are shorter, you can use them in cut flower arrangements, which is really great because sunflowers come in a range of colors now. So that's super fun. So it's really nice to be finally at that point where we can be talking about, okay, this is what's going in. This is the vegetables that's going in. And of course, most of the rest of the stuff will probably have to wait to the beginning of June, just simply because the zone we're in, that, you know, you can't put out tomatoes or peppers or be putting out your squash or anything like that, because if it does get a little bit snowy, that'll kill it. They are so tender that even just a little bit of a skiff of a snow overnight, that's it, that plant's gone. So we usually wait to, they say after, technically our average date of last frost is the May long weekend. We tend to wait until the beginning of June just to hedge our bets, because we have had snow. Not often, but sometimes we've had snow in the last week of May. However, only one time in my entire life have we had snow. It wasn't that much. It was just, like I said, a skiff of snow in the first week of June. So for me, that's the kind of hard and fast rule of like the beginning of June, because then I know we're safe. And it still gives us plenty of time, because it gives us all of June, all of July, all of August, and all of September. And that's 120 growing days. And if you look on the back of your seed packets, most of the things that you're growing that you would start from seed outside don't have a longer growing time than that. And usually if you're growing something that takes a little bit longer than that, you've probably either started it from seed before then, so you're not putting a seed in the ground at the beginning of June, you're probably putting in a bedding plant that you've either grown yourself or you've purchased from a local garden center, and it's probably had, you know, it might have had, you know, 30, 45 days already, or 60 days even. And so when you're going, okay, well, I have 120, and then but you're putting a plant that already has 60, that means you can have a plant that's going to take 180 days. And that's how kind of those dates work. But it's so exciting to be at that stage again this year about talking about putting garden seeds in. Because last year we were cutting that garden right out of the field. Like we were, you know, we had to like tear up the field grass. I don't want to say sod because that makes it sound like it's like your front yard, but it was like field. It was a field that like, that they hayed. And we still hay part of that field and then the other fields that we have too. But we took this chunk because of where of the location it was in relation to other things we've got going on to make a garden, and it doesn't interfere with the haying process, of to make this field garden so that we could have a big plot of land to put the garden on. And so, but we had to start from scratch. So we were breaking ground. And so we had to break ground. And that means it had to be tilled up a bunch of times. We amended it with some, it's marine compost. So it's got all that, you know, kind of like fish and seashells and all that good stuff that you get in marine compost. We amended it with that, you know, just really starting from scratch. And we started late. Like I said, we started, like I put potatoes in ground July 1st. Whereas this year they'll be going in like what, May 3rd, May 4th. So almost 2 months earlier. That's a lot of time when you're talking growing season in a garden. That's like a that's a lifetime. So we're hoping to have even more things in the garden. We're going to plant even more intensely because not only do you get more food that way, by not having a lot of really bare soil, it cuts down on the weeds because there's no place for them to grow. And also because we've had a really dry winter and they're kind of predicting we're going to have a really dry growing season, by planting everything a little bit more intensely, when it does rain and the ground gets really soaked because everything's planted intensely and there's not a lot of bare ground, that water will stay in the ground a lot longer than if there's open patches where it can evaporate and dry out. So we're just trying to kind of work with Mother Nature a bit because we don't have any way to water that garden spot. Like for the 4x4 potager garden close to the house, yeah, the hose will reach there, we can water it, you know, that kind of thing. But we have no way other than if we got like a little quad and have like a water thing on the back, like a water tank, and drove it out there to water it. That would be the only way to do it. And we don't have that. So we have to completely rely on the blessings of Mother Nature to rain on us regularly to make our garden grow. So we are trying to do the most that we can to work with her by, like I said, by planting a little more intensely. We're going to be adding more amendments to the soil because the better your soil is, the more water it can like hold in a good way, like not waterlogged, but hold in a good way when it does rain. And so you don't get those kind of drought conditions in your garden. So that's super exciting. We've spent days planning which, you know, where we're going to plant what and when each thing is going to go into the ground. So that's been super exciting. What else? What else is super exciting? Oh, I don't know if I've told any of you. I don't know if I've kept this a secret or if I've told you guys, but I have been going to a pottery class for the last 4 weeks. I've got one more week to go and then I finish the class. So I have wanted to, and it's the pottery like where you on the wheel where you're throwing the pot and it's spinning around and you do the whole thing. And ever since, I'm really dating myself now, but ever since I watched the movie Ghost, I've really, it just seemed like such a thing, pottery. And then I also follow kind of like the pottery journey of, his name is Guy Wolf. He is He makes all of Martha Stewart's pots. That's where I was kind of introduced to him by, is like watching her shows. And he makes just these beautiful clay pots for her to put like all of her like annuals in and that kind of thing around her properties. And it's just the shape he makes them. There's something about the shape of the pots that he makes that just really speaks to me. And it's not a super like intricate design. The shape is just, when I, even from the first time I saw that shape, I thought that's the perfect shape for a clay pot. So between those two things, I was so enamored to take a pottery class. So I took this pottery class, and a couple things. First of all, I am so glad that I stepped out of my comfort zone and tried something new, and we should always try that. We should always try new things, because you never know if you're gonna like them or not until you do it. So I'm so glad that I tried it. And I have learned so much in my pottery class, and I have made some really cute pieces for myself for around my home that I'm gonna treasure forever. And I really learned that I don't like pottery classes. Like, I don't like making the pottery. Like, I like that I made the things that I did, but I don't have any desire to make more pottery. Like, it's not like, oh, I've taken a class now, so now I'm gonna make myself like 30 plant pots, or start making dishes and plant pots and start selling them. Like, I literally have no desire for that. It's literally been a wonderful experience. Like every class I'm loving it. Every class I'm loving it. But it's gonna be one of those things where it's like, I loved the experience, and I'll treasure it always, but I'm not gonna like go to that next level and keep, you know, refining my skills. Because that's just not it for me. But I'm so glad that I know that about myself now. But it's an amazing experience. I'm so glad I tried it. I'm so glad. And I can't wait to, for those of you who follow me on Instagram, at Seven Martians on Mars, we are doing glazing at this next class that's coming up this week, and then they're gonna like fire it in the kiln, and then we'll be able to pick up our pieces. So after I pick up the pieces, I'm gonna take a picture of them and post them all on Instagram, so you'll be able to see what my finished products. They're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they are special to me, and I actually made each piece with a specific use around my house in mind when I made it. So it wasn't just like I was making random pieces. So that's kind of fun. So that's super exciting. Let's see. I have gone back to yoga classes, and if you've ever taken yoga and then stopped taking yoga for a long time, because I haven't taken yoga for a couple years now, and then go back to it, you really realize, oh, I was super flexible before, and I have not kept that up, and I've left myself turn into like the Tin Man. And so getting back into it, I'm having to give myself a little bit of grace and a little bit of patience. But I love yoga, and I love what yoga does for my mind and for my body. And as part of this, keeping my body like loose and limber and fit and ready for anything journey that I'm on, yoga is a natural part of that. I'm also trying to incorporate meditation. Now, for those of you in this world that have like ADHD or neurodivergent of any kind, you'll know that meditation can be a challenge, because it's really hard to quiet your mind and not let it like race or wander. And so it is really a training process. And for years, even though I've loved the idea of meditation, I've kind of been like, oh, you know, I can't really do it. I can't get my mind to still. I can't get my mind to stop racing or to, you know, focus on a single thought kind of thing. And so I'm just not going to do it. And now I'm going, you know what? You know what? I can do anything I put my mind to. So I'm going to put my mind to it. So I've got, I'm taking a couple of yoga classes that end in a guided meditation. And then I've got an app on my phone that has guided meditations on it. Let me tell you what the app is so everybody can. It's called Insight Timer. And it's a free little app. So that's great. Who doesn't love free? And You can pick, they have all kinds of things. They have like sleep meditation, they have abundance manifestation meditations and stuff like that. So you kind of pick what you're looking for. You know, whether you're, because you might be meditating in the morning, so you might want something that's going to like set the tone for your day. Or you might be meditating in the evening, so you kind of want to unwind. Or maybe you're meditating, you know, as a way to, you know, get to sleep better. And so it's kind of, they kind of have something for everyone. And you can, you know, favorite it so you can kind of re-listen to them if you want. So that's kind of cool. So I'm doing that as well. So lots just going on. And you know what? I'm feeling the little benefits from everything. You know, the taking the class, you know, stretching your, you know, because when you stretch your circle by trying something new, whether it's pottery or maybe you try poetry or maybe you try crochet or painting or some sort of woodworking craft or whatever, flower arranging. It really does kind of like spread your wings a little bit. I've also joined a women's group, and we're just, it's just kind of a women's social group. Like we're getting together, we're kind of sharing our skills with each other, hanging out, just talking and visiting and getting to know each other. So that's really great too. And we all have our strengths. Like I don't think two of us have the same strength, which is really great, which means that like we'll all kind of get a chance to, you know, shine in our own arena, but then the rest of the time we will be able to learn something from somebody else that we didn't know. And that's great. And I love that kind of thing. So I'm very much looking forward to doing all of those things. We are doing brunch next week is our first big activity. And I'm not going to lie, I've never been to brunch. I'm in my 50s and I've never been to brunch. Like maybe once when I was a teenager with one of my friends, I think we did a dim sum. And, but I'm talking like as a grown up, like where people have like mimosas and they have the, you know, the really nice like it's brunch, like breakfast foods and really great things. And I've never done that. And I don't know why, because I have girlfriends and we go out for like coffee. We go out for, you know, lunch. We've gone out for dinner. I have no idea why we've never gone out for brunch. So I was super excited that was going to be our first activity. I'm like, oh my God, I've never gone to brunch. This is going to be amazing. But I think I'm going to incorporate, even just with my like regular friends, is just go on a brunch. You know, I'm not saying monthly, because nobody needs to do that monthly. You know, we're very busy. We've got a lot of stuff going. And honestly, I think if I went to brunch every month, it would lose its joy. But quarterly brunch sounds like it's doable. So yeah, lots of really fun stuff that's happening right now. I also signed up to go to a girls' camp in July. So it's like adult women, we're going camping, we're staying in cabins, we're doing the whole, you know, like campfire, we're doing axe throwing, hiking. I think we're doing a yoga as well. Plus like lots of good food and laughs and sitting around the campfire and telling stories. So I've never gone like to an adult camp where it was just women. So really looking forward to that. It's going to be super fun. And I'm really trying to do more of those things because my youngest son is, you know, turned 16 a while ago now. And so I'm almost an empty nester. So I need to start, you know, being that cool single woman, doing fun things. And not just so that people can say, oh, she's a cool single woman, but just so that my life is full. So that it's, you know, that I'm going, yeah, I'm enjoying what my week looks like. I'm enjoying what my weekend looks like. I'm enjoying what my month looks like. And I'm still growing and learning as a person and developing and just keeping your mind and body fresh. That's just what it's about for me in this stage of my life. And I'm kind of enjoying it. It's kind of like, you know, some people who didn't have kids till they're like in their 30s, that they got to have that whole 20s era of like being able to like come and go as they please. They got to do whatever, go wherever. I'm getting to do that now, but I'm getting to do that with the wisdom that comes from living this long. So I actually know what's like, that sounds like a good time, or that's a really bad idea. And yeah, and I can, and instead of just, you know, going along with the crowd, I can choose things that are just like, okay, I want to do that. Great if others want to join me, but if they don't, that's okay. I can do it by myself or whatever group of women wants to do that. And I have noticed on social media that there's lots of groups now that are even travel groups where like the women don't really know each other, but they get together for like retreats, or they'll all go on like a group travel to like, you know, Greece or Italy or Arizona or that kind of thing, and just have a really fun time. So I might look into that as well. But lots of really fun things going on this spring. And I think I'm going to be doing a little bit of home improvement as well. My office is, well, for several months, it's been like, I'm not going to lie, it was a shithole. Not really, because that makes it sound like it was piled with garbage and like dead things were in it. But there wasn't. It was just piled with a lot of things that didn't belong there, that are really great things. They just didn't belong there. And so I've been really, really, really working very hard to get everything out of there that doesn't belong in that room. And for some things, that's meant it didn't get just out of my room. It really got out of the house, because I was going, you know what? You are not value enough in my life for me to have space in my house for you. So you have to go. And because I really want to make my office a very inspirational place for writing, for editing, you know, for filming podcasts, you know, because sometimes maybe I want to film podcasts at home instead of always doing them out at the farm. And so I want it to be pretty. I'm in my feminine girl era where I want everything almost to be pink. I have a carpet in my bedroom that, my God, it has seen better days. And I'm kind of humming and hawing. It's got like a plain subfloor, like, so there's not like wood floor. If I pull up the carpet, it's like, oh, I've got beautiful wood floors. No, it's just got a plain wood subfloor. But I'm at the point where the carpet is just so gross. It's got so many stains on it. It really detracts. It's at the point where it's detracting from my room. And I'm getting to the point now, and I've done this in previous houses that I've owned where I've had carpet that I hated, where I'm just going to pull it up. And until I can figure out, because the reason I haven't pulled it up thus far is because I'm trying hard to decide what kind of hard surface flooring I want to put in there. Like, do I want just a sheet linoleum? Do I want, you know, do I want like luxury vinyl plank? Like, I just don't know. But here's what I can do is I can pull up that grungy carpet, get it out of my life, and plain subfloors love paint. And if you put it in a nice semi-gloss, put a couple coats on it, it's, to be clear, that won't last forever. It just won't. If you're moving your furniture around, walking on it, vacuuming, it's going to get scraped and dinged. But that's okay, because it's not the final thing. What it will do is it will keep the subfloor protected from spills or dog accidents until I have time to figure out what I want to do with it. But get the carpet out of there. And it lets me have a fun time playing with color, because what I really think I'm going to do is paint it pink. Kind of like, I don't want to say Dusty Rose, because if my oldest son ever listens to the podcast, which he says he doesn't, but you never know, he will like drive off the road laughing if he hears that I'm going to paint anything that color. Because once upon a time, when he was probably, I'm going to say 10, I decided that, because Dusty Rose was my favorite shade and it was all the rage in the late 80s and early 90s. And I'd always wanted to paint my kitchen that, because I had a few Dusty Rose kitchen accessories. And so I thought, well, if you have it on your accessories, definitely paint it on your wall. But I didn't just paint it on the kitchen wall. I sponge painted Dusty Rose, or what I was hoping was Dusty Rose, on the wall. What it looked like when I was finished was that a bottle of Pepto-Bismol blew up all over my kitchen. I hated it before the paint was dry. And so he never has let me forget it. So, but no, but I want an actual Dusty Rose color. That's like, it's like a gray pink, a grayish pink almost. And like not baby pink, like not that really like color, like it'd be quite dark. And it'll be on a floor. And it's a subfloor that'll eventually be covered by a permanent floor. So if it's not the end all and be all of my existence, it's eventually going to be covered. But in the meantime, I get to have a fun floor. And I could even, you know, write motivational sayings in Sharpie on it, because again, not a permanent floor. And how fun would that be if years down the road people were renovating it, pulling up whatever flooring I put down there and went, wow, the subfloor is pink with motivational quotes on it. But how fun would that be in the meantime? It would definitely be much more fun than the grungy old carpet that's there. So that's kind of on the plan. I'm also thinking of painting some walls in my house. I have test patches all over my house that have been there for much longer than I'm willing to admit. And I just need to commit to a paint color and put it on the wall. The time for sampling and blah, it's gone well past this expiration date. I just need to get a gallon of paint and start painting some walls. So that's another thing that I want to do. And I'm going to be fun with it. And because I think a little bit of me always has that, and you all probably have the same thing, most of you. Some of you are blessed with the ability to be wildly spontaneous in your decorating choices with like paint and flooring and whatever, and you're just boldly go and it doesn't give you pause. But most of us are kind of like, well, I'd really like that color, but if I ever go to sell it, that's going to be a headache. And we need to stop thinking that, because A, you're not selling. Unless you're selling your house in the next 6 months, don't worry about what it may or may not look like. Because if you paint your walls blue or pink or purple or whatever color you paint, and you move in 5 years, doesn't matter if they were white, you'll want to put fresh coat of paint on those walls before you sell anyway. So might as well live with the color you like, because paint nowadays covers. Like, you could paint your wall black, and then when you go to sell it, a couple of coats of paint and it can be bright white again. So we don't need to live in that fear of, oh, but if I sell it, it's going to be hard. Paint the color you want. Have the purple bathroom, have the pink bedroom, have the bright blue kitchen. Doesn't matter. So I think I'm going to be a little bit, you know, just bite the bullet and do that as well. So those are my projects. So how is everyone doing? Is everyone loving spring? Is spring treating you good? I know up here in Canada, we've been kind of having a spring that's kind of like not sure if it wants to be spring or still winter. It's okay. We need the moisture while it figures itself out. We're getting the moisture, so that's all good. But it's a little bit frustrating for some people. I've been watching on social media. I'm just going with the flow. But wherever you are you having a good spring? Are you in one of those climates that you've already got stuff out in the ground that you can be putting your, I think zone, no, I don't even think zone six can put stuff, six and seven can put their tomatoes in, but maybe I'm wrong. But you can at least be put, you've probably been putting stuff in for the last couple months though. Or at least starting, have a lot of stuff in the last few weeks. So how is that going? Are you planting a new garden? Are you wanting to have a garden? If you have never planted everything in your life, and you're like, I've always wanted to grow something, flowers, vegetables, anything, I'd really like to start small and then build from that knowledge and success to something bigger, go back and listen to my gardening episodes. There's a part one and a part two. And listen to both of them, because I give a very step-by-step, easy way to start your gardening journey with just two big pots. And it couldn't be easier. Whether you're in an apartment building with a balcony, whether you're in like a townhouse or a small house, or you have 100 acres. And you just don't know where to start. The principles will be the same, pretty much. And it's a good place to start. And it's fun. And even if you do have 100 acres, you're going to want something on your deck anyway to grow on your deck. Because I have lots of space at the farm and I still put stuff out on the deck. I have less space in the city garden, but I still put stuff on the deck as well. So for those of you who want to get into gardening, and we'll be talking more about that. We'll be talking about what seeds I like, what fertilizers I like, because I like to stay as organic as I can. Actually, not organic as I can. I only use organic. So I only use organic fertilizers. and I only use organic soils. Like, so any soil amendment that I'm using is an organic soil amendment. So any fertilizer, whether it's slow release or liquid, is always an organic, just because that is something that's very important to me. I like to keep my environment as organic as I can, just because it's better for the pollinators and the birds that are around, and you get a better little bit of an ecosystem when you kind of keep it more natural. But yeah, I'm excited to hear where everyone's journey is. Feel free to comment on posts on my Instagram and let me know where your journeys are as I'm posting stuff about gardening. And I will definitely be posting like colors of the bedroom floor and wall colors that I've picked and all that kind of stuff, and showing what I'm growing. I'll be showing you what I'm growing in pots. I'll be showing you what I'm growing in my 4x4, and I'll be talking about the field garden. So whether you see the pictures on Instagram or you hear me talking about on the podcast, either or, you'll be getting that information. And yeah, we're going to just be doing a lot of fun things. We're going to be working with some arbors this year, growing up some arbors. I've actually never done that. I've seen it done a lot of time, but I actually put in an arbor in my city garden. And so I'm going to be planting peas up one side of it and cucumbers up the other side, so that it's kind of like it's like a green arch and food growing on it. So we're going to see how that goes. But I hope everyone is having a wonderful week, and I hope you guys have an amazing week ahead of you. As always in the Mama Mentor podcast, take what works and toss the rest, because life is too short to be told what to do. And I will see you guys in the next one. Bye-bye.